You were always part of God's plan. Isn't that incredible? Because we can look at our lives and we can, you know, to us it kind of seems like there was a period of our lives where God didn't know who we were. Right, we got away with some stuff. God didn't know because we weren't saved. But the reality is we were part of God's plan. There's not a part of our lives that's hidden from God. Not a part of our lives now and not a part of our lives in our past. It is all transparent to God. And as much as we may want to hide or to hide, you know, certain areas of our thoughts or of our deeds, God is aware. And God chose us. He designed us with a purpose. And Ephesians chapter 1 reveals that to us. And we look, beginning in verse number 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." And it's so important. Guys, I know people who are happy who are rich and happy who are poor and miserable who are rich and miserable who are poor, because money and economy really has nothing to do with our joy. It is about our attitude, our perspective toward life. And when we know God and we know God's will for ourselves, for me, then I can be happy. I can have joy in my heart. When I'm connected to Him, when I have communion with my Creator, with my God and my Savior, I can have joy in my soul. But when I am constantly focused on myself and those things I don't have or those things I want to have, I will be unhappy. I will be miserable. But you were always part of God's plan. It was God who has blessed us with spiritual blessings. That's on the inside, in heavenly places in Christ. According as He hath, look at this, chosen us. Now, those of you who are here as couples, I want you, one of you, to raise your hand. If you are the one who chose your spouse, or did they choose you? You chose them, raise your hand. All right. Okay. It was you were the one that said, "Yes, let's make this happen." Hey, God looked at you and said, "Let's make this happen." God designed us on purpose. I know, Brother Ronnie, if God said to you, "Here's an open slate, I want you to just design the perfect spouse," Tammy would come out. Amen. This is where you say amen, preacher. All right. And amen, right? And look, when God had an open slate, a blank canvas, and He made you, He made us of His choosing. Hear that. God made you the way you are on purpose, for His purpose. It was His plan. Now, that's not to say we didn't mess it up somewhere along the way. But it is to say that God wanted you to be you. And He wanted to make you because, look, there are people that only you can reach for Jesus Christ. They won't listen to me. They won't listen to someone else. They will only listen to you. Now, here's my question. If you don't do your job, how are they going to get to heaven? Is there a backup team? Is there a second string? Does God have somebody that He designed to back you up just in case you don't get your job done, just in case you're too lazy or you come up with excuses or you just don't want to? Or is it up to me to reach the ones God said, "These are yours, Derek"? And it's up to you to reach the ones that God said, "These are yours." Guys, God made us on purpose. He's given us all spiritual blessings. He chose us in Him. How long ago did He decide that we were going to be here? Look at what it says. Before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. When God was figuring out how to make stars and oceans and rivers and mountains and volcanoes and how earthquakes were going to work and precipitation and all that kind of stuff, he looked down and he said, and I want one of these, one of you, at this period of time. Isn't that incredible? I want you to be around at this period of time. Before the foundation of the world, God chose us in him. Not only did he want us to be designed, not only did he want us to be created, not only did he want us to be born, he wanted us to be born again. He wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to know him in a friendship, in a fellowship, in a relationship to our Heavenly Father. He wanted us to have that. He wants us to walk with him and talk with him and laugh with him and sing with him. And when's the last time you did that with God? I hope it hadn't been that long. I hope you do it every day. And what was his decision? Well, how did he want us? He said that we should be holy, without blame before him in love. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be godly. He wants us to be blameless. And he wants us to be, look at what it says here, in love. He wants us to be in love. He wants us to feel he wants us to feel that we are wanted. That he wants us and he wants us to want him. That we should be in love. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It is his plan. Now I'll let you in on something. There are people sitting at home today or on the beach today or in the woods today, or at work today, or still sleeping today, with no thought of God, no love for God, no intention for God. And here's what I want you to know. God chose them too. They just rejected him. God made them with a purpose too. They've just rejected him. We were all predestinated. What? To the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Isn't it great to know that God's grace is greater than all my sin? It's a wonderful song. Grace that is greater than all my sin. God chose you, and God chose me, and God chose them. The question is, who's going to answer? Who's going to respond? Are we going to deny him? Are we going to reject him? Are we going to accept him? Are we going to have that grace that is greater than all my sin so that when I stand before a holy God in judgment and he looks to see my sin, there'll be none there? Isn't that incredible? But when they, the lost, stand before God, having no Savior, having no payment, having no forgiveness, and they stand before God, and on their account will be the large sins that we think about and every little small, what we consider to be insignificant sin or offense toward God. You ever heard of a little white lie? And you say, well, that doesn't really matter. It's just a little white lie. Can I tell you that when you stand before God as an unsaved soul, one who rejected Christ, that you'll stand before a holy God and you'll give an account for eternal judgment of a little white lie that you thought was insignificant and didn't really matter? You said, well, I stole a stamp and it was only, you know, it's only, I think they're 50 cents now, aren't they? 60 cents? I was thinking like a nickel, but we've gone long past that, haven't we? So a nickel, that's kind of insignificant. 50 cents, now we're talking business now. But, I mean, you take a stamp and you say, well, it doesn't really matter. Do you understand that if you don't have the grace of God to forgive your sins, when you stand in heaven before a holy God, you'll give an account for a 60-cent stamp that you stole because it wasn't yours and you thought it was insignificant and you thought nobody would notice. But I want you to know something. When you're lost, every single sin is written down in heaven. There's an account that you'll be accountable to God for, and those little insignificant sins matter. I'll tell you what, I don't want to answer for big sins, little sins, medium-sized sins. I want to stand before God and God look at my record and say, saved by the grace of God. Sins washed away, forgiven, no sin. Hallelujah. But if you're not saved, you won't have that privilege. Guys, I'm telling you, every little thing will be accountable. We're accepted in the beloved through His blood, forgiveness of sin, the riches of His grace. He says in verse number 8, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Wherein, that's the grace wherein He has abounded to us with all prudence and wisdom. Abundant grace. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Well, we hear about unity and peace, and you know, we strive for that, don't we? What do we want? We want peace. We don't want war in Ukraine or war in the South America. We don't want war with the Chinese or the Koreans or the Russians. We don't want anybody to have to be at war in Africa. We don't want to be at war. We don't want to have civil war. We don't want to have unrest. We don't want rioting in the streets. We want peace. When are we going to get that? In the dispensation, when the dispensation of the fullness of time has come. When God, by His plan and purpose, brings all things and gathers all things together. Well, I can tell you this. The Bible says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And that's what it'll take to get things right again. Verse 13, in whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth. How did you get saved? Well, somewhere along the way you heard the gospel. Somewhere along the way somebody said to you, you are a sinner. But Jesus left heaven and was born, and He died on the cross for your sins. His blood was shed for your sins. And He rose from the grave the third day to give us victory over death. And He's given us eternal life. We put our confidence in Him for the forgiveness of sins. He washed our sins away. Somebody had to tell you that. Was it at church? Was it at school? Was it at home? Somewhere, somebody had to say to you, there's a God that loves you and you're a sinner, but He sent His Son to pay for your sins, to die for your sins. Somebody had to tell you that. Look what it said. When you heard. After that you heard. Guys, that's on us. Heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. And that word sealed, and we talk about, how many notaries do we have in the room? Okay, one, two, okay, a few. And so what do we have? We have a little seal that we could stamp on the bottom of that page, right? And impress that paper. Well, a lot of times we just use ink now, but we impress that paper. You know what this word sealed is? The word sealed is the word impressed. In other words, it's not, you know, we think about that we're not going to, that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. That means it's sealed and we can't get out. That's not really the term that He's using. He's using a term that says His mark is on us. His mark is on us. The mark of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. You ever meet somebody and when you're around them, you just over a course of a minutes or hours, you said, that's a born-again child of God. You know why? Because the mark of the Holy Ghost is on them. Well, let me ask you a question. Did they come to the same conclusion about you? Guys, God's mark is on us. They ought to be able to see God in our lives. Just a few moments with us, they ought to be able to sense the presence of God. Impressed, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul expresses to the church at Ephesus, I'm grateful for the faithful. Aren't you grateful for the faithful? Amen. Faithful friends, faithful church, people that are reliable, people who you can count on. If you call them, they're going to help you if they can. They want to help you. They want to bless you. They want to build you up. They want to encourage you. He says, you love the church. You love the saints. That's what he's saying. You love the saints. You love God's people. I'm glad you love God's people. It's wonderful to be part of a church that loves each other, cares about each other, takes interest in each other. Grateful for the faithful. Verse 17, he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Now, this is his prayer. You understand? This is his prayer. I pray for you without ceasing. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the Spirit of wisdom. What does that mean? That is the instinct of the new nature. When we got saved, see, I asked God's forgiveness, and he sent his Holy Spirit, the presence of God inside of me, so that when I'm thinking about things, the Holy Spirit of God can speak up. And when I'm searching for direction, the Holy Spirit of God can give direction. Or when I'm thinking about doing something I shouldn't do, the Holy Spirit of God can give conviction. There's an internal instinct, we call it, of the new nature. Spiritual wisdom, the Spirit of wisdom. And my prayer is that you will have that Spirit of wisdom, that new nature instinct. But secondly, he says, and that you may have revelation in the knowledge of him. And what is revelation? It is something that we discover. How many of you learned something new about somebody this week that you know, maybe your husband or your wife or your kids, and you learned something new about them? Anybody? One, two, okay, so about five or six of you say, yeah, something new. I'm not going to ask you what it was. But something you go, wow, that's kind of neat. I never knew that before. That's what revelation of the knowledge of Christ is. It's when we're reading our Bible and we come across something and we say, oh, wow. And somebody said in Sunday school this morning, wow, I never knew that before. And I'm certain that brother's read his Bible through and through and has read even that text before. But this morning there was a light that came on and said, wow, revelation or discovery. See, in order to have discovery, we've got to be paying attention. And my prayer is that we'll pay attention. My prayer is that we'll use that new instinct, that we'll have discovery in Christ. Verse number 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You know, I think we talked this morning about Judas Iscariot briefly in Sunday school, how they replaced him among the apostles. And I think probably one of the biggest things that affected the other 11 apostles is they said to themselves, how did I miss this? Anybody else ever done that? Like, how did I not see the signs? How did this not occur to me sooner? This guy was a crook. This guy was a betrayer of the Lord. I mean, this guy was in it for himself. He had his own agenda. How did I not see this? And I believe that's really what affected the other apostles the most, is they thought, I should have seen something. I should have seen some signs. Well, here in verse number 18, he said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You see, that's our spiritual vision. What we can see that may not be apparent to everybody else. That's what we need. That's what we need as God's people. We can help people if we have that. We can help people if we can see things that are beyond the surface. If we're having spiritual understanding, spiritual revelation. And we'll be able to help other people if we have that. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. To realize the fullness. How many of you think you will ever reach your potential? Don't raise your hand on this. Just think about it, all right? How many of us think we'll ever reach our full potential for God? Did Moses reach his? Did Elijah reach his? Or Ezekiel or Jeremiah or Peter or Paul? I know somebody said Mary. I knew somebody was going to say that. Did they ever reach their full potential? Do we want to? Will we try? Have we given up? Do we want to do more for God? Look, that we may know what is the hope of His calling. The fullness of the hope of His calling. I want God, I want to be everything God wants me to be. I hope you do too. Because I believe this. I believe that if I'm everything God wants me to be, that'll help you. And I believe this. I believe that if you're everything God wants you to be, that'll help me. Guys, and not only will it help me, it'll help everybody else too. And if we will pursue to be the best that we can be, to be the full potential for God, we can change our community with the gospel. It's big. I know it's big. Or we could just coast to the rapture. Coast to the grave. I want to realize the fullness of the hope of His calling and the riches of His inheritance. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power? In other words, what could God do if I just get out of the way and let Him? What could God do if I took away all the excuses and said, God, just show me each moment what you want me to do and I'll stay on task. Show me. The exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. According to the mighty working of His power. According to the working of His mighty power. God in eternity, before the foundation of the world, said, I'm going to make you. He had a plan. He had a purpose. He had a schedule. He put people in our lives. He directed us to the right places. And He's brought us here. The question is, do we want to know all that God has planned? Do we want to do everything? Or are we satisfied with the little bit that we know about so far? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. We're not just talking about heaven. We're talking about today. Let's stand. Father, we love You. Pray that You will draw us to You, to know that we are here by Your intent to fulfill Your purpose. God, would You take our lives and do great things? Do great things today. Do great things right now. Fill us with Your Spirit. Anoint us with Your power. Cover us with Your wings. save souls and change lives right now, but as a result of the time that we've been together. Do your great, exceeding wonderful work. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. If you want me to pray with you, I'd be glad to do that. But you can pray and reach God from where you are right now. God, forgive my sins. God, save my soul. God, I put my faith in Jesus. God, I want to know the fullness of your will. I want to know the fullness of your power. I want to see what you can do with me. Do great things with me, Lord. Your opportunity. All right. Thank you. Amen. Wonderful. Glad you're here this morning. Be back tonight at 6, Wednesday night at 7. Anything before dismiss? Don't forget, ladies, Christmas party is Tuesday night. Information's in the bulletin. Sign up on the bulletin board for our holiday meal for this Saturday. And for Christmas dinner. All right. Is that everything? Anything else? All right. Glad you came today. Hope you'll come back tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask you if you would, Brother Harry Ivy, would you dismiss us, please?